Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith, revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you again here in studio, and it's exciting to get into this material where Paul is going to start addressing the issues that he had with the Colossian heretics, those who were trying to deceive and delude, as we'll see, the Christians there that were there at Colossae.
Yeah, now, you could almost say here he's starting to make applications from the Christ hymn of chapter 1.
Amen. Well said. I just wanted to back up and read a little bit just so we get our flow into verse 4.
Okay.
And then I'll read verse 4 as well. He left off in verse 3 where it talked about Christ. And he said, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now in verse 4 he says, I say this so that no one will delude you with a persuasive argument. First of all, I think we should probably understand what delude means. What does it mean here when he says that he doesn't want anyone to delude them?
Or deceive.
Yeah.
The word here is paralogizomai. Logizomai would be to reason.
Sure.
And para means beside.
Right.
So the reasoning beside, now the context tells us what that means.
Right.
But they're making arguments that seem reasonable.
Yeah.
But they're not compatible with the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
And so you have to remember chapter 1 and then what we've had already in chapter 2. It's about the sufficiency of Christ,
amen.
And about Christ alone, and the glory of God in Christ, and salvation in Christ. And these reasonings, paralogizomai, beside the truth, are trying to point them to the philosophies of men, which we won't get to today, or probably next week, but about verse 8.
Right, exactly.
Philosophies of men.
Yeah.
And they're not according to Christ.
Yeah. Bob, I think it's important you point out that this delusion would be an attack on the sufficiency of Christ. And, you know, that's kind of a catchphrase for a lot of heresy. When we deny the sufficiency of Christ, we don't think that he's good enough for both our salvation and our sanctification, we can fall into all sorts of troubles.
Oh, I know. Galatians talks about that.
Yeah.
Colossians talks about that. And really, Hebrews does.
Yeah.
It talks about what we have in Christ, what he's done once for all.
Yeah.
And about the throne of grace.
Amen.
We've talked about so many different times.
Yeah.
And we need to know what Paul's warning about.
Amen.
Because all of these problems are still going on.
Right, right. You know, I thought about this when I was given a message not long ago about Roman Catholicism, and I thought of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 11, where he fears that the Corinthians had gone after a different Christ, therefore a different spirit, and had a different gospel. And one way you can deny the sufficiency of Christ is simply to say you have to add anything for your further salvation or for your further good.
Yes.
And that's what Paul is dealing with people who are being duped into believing that faith alone in Jesus Christ alone will not protect them from the demonic realm. And you had written a whole article about that very thing.
Yeah. See, any attack against the doctrine of Christ, and I'll say that's sort of a comprehensive genitive.
Sure.
Doctrine of Christ.
Yeah.
The teaching that comes from Christ, in the teaching about Christ.
It's both, yeah.
Any deviation from that is an attack against biblical Christianity.
Yeah, amen.
We teach the five solas.
Right.
And one of which is Christ alone.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what Paul talks about a lot in Colossians.
Right.
And so these false teachers are going to claim that Christ alone is not sufficient to protect them from bad fate. We've
right.
talked about that.
Right.
The stoichia,
yeah.
the hostile powers, and they wanted to have Christ plus their own religious traditions.
Amen.
Now, we see today the same problem. So many people have religious traditions,
right,
the traditions of men, that they don't want to give up.
Yep.
And they'll say, yes, we want Christ, but we want all this other stuff too.
Right, right.
Religious traditions.
Yeah.
And that's not correct.
Yeah.
We're warned about that. And also notice here,
yeah,
that he says this, what, about the sufficiency of Christ?
Yeah.
In order that no one would deceive you.
Yeah.
Hina is a purpose clause in this sentence in the Greek.
Right.
And it means, this is why I'm teaching you so much about Christ.
Right.
And his sufficiency for the Christian.
Yeah.
And we just finished a series about freedom in Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Based on Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Also about Christ.
Yeah.
And what we have in Christ. And so Paul's purpose in writing is to head off the negative and pernicious effect of false teachers who add things that should not be added.
Yeah.
They reason beside, paralogizomai.
Amen.
They have their own reasoning. They have their own ideas that are not logical deductions of the doctrine of Christ.
Amen. Well, well said. Now, as he talks about their persuasive argument, I know we're going to get into this in verse 8, but I remember when you were teaching in Galatians, these persuasive arguments that the opponents have usually play on the problems within Christians' lives.
Oh, yes. Very much, Eric.
Yeah.
And having been in the ministry for many, many years,
yeah,
I know for a fact, I've seen this happen,
right,
over and over again.
Yeah.
It's very easy to convince just about any Christian that they have problems.
Yeah, right.
And you know why?
Because we do.
And we do.
Right, right.
Well, your life isn't so great.
Yeah.
You have problems at work.
Right.
You may have financial problems. You may have problems feeling afraid,
yeah,
or anxious.
Right.
You may have problems in your family. You may have kids that don't want to listen to you.
Right.
And maybe you have physical problems. This life is full of problems.
Yes.
Okay? And there's always a false doctrine out there, which is exactly what was going on in Colossae,
yeah,
that says, here's why you have problems.
Right.
Okay? You have problems, so you're not a very good Christian.
Right.
But listen to us.
Yes.
Like this health and wealth gospel.
Yeah.
Listen to us. You shouldn't have any problems. If you do, then you need to change your doctrine.
Right.
And that's what leads them astray from Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Because we're promised, in this world, you will have tribulation.
Amen.
Who promised that?
Right, Jesus did.
Christ.
Yeah, wow, well said. You know, I was just thinking as you were saying that, in John chapter 9, remember the man that was born blind? Well, he had a problem. And here, remember, the debate was, well, why was he born blind? There must be a reason.
Who's the sinner?
Yeah, who's the sinner? He must be his sinner
or his parents.
Family, right? His parents sin. So the idea is there's a problem, and right away there's speculation as to what is behind the problem. Well, what you just pointed out, Bob, is we don't know. It's not revealed to us oftentimes.
It's like Job's comforters.
Yes.
He had a problem.
Right.
So they sat around for all those chapters in Job speculating.
With no knowledge.
Assuming there's clearly something wrong with Job and he deserved what he got.
Exactly.
Now, us readers of Job who read the prologue know, no.
Yeah. It's behind, God is behind it.
God allowed Satan,
yeah,
to do this.
Amen.
For a greater purpose.
Right. And you know what? That's helpful, Bob, right there, that worldview, because if we would realize that as Christians, part of our Christian worldview should be to stop speculating about why these problems exist. Obviously, if we're engaged in sin and we're hurting people, etc., if there's things that are revealed in Scripture, we're bound to that. But if there's things outside that, look, we're, for example, if we have financial troubles, even though we've been trying to, you know, make a good, honest living, these things happen, and God in His providence uses them for our character.
Sometimes people have a child with genetic disorders that lead to bankruptcy.
Right.
To try to deal with it. And along comes these holier-than-thou Christians saying, oh, it's your own fault.
Right.
Or if you would have known which generational curse to break. Oh. You know, we've talked about that. Wow. I've seen all this.
Yeah.
And it's always there. These teachers are always out there. The books are always being published.
Yeah.
People are always being deceived. They go here and there thinking, if I get just the right answer, I won't have problems. And I've said many years ago already, I said, if there's a book entitled The Secret to...
Yes.
Dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Don't buy it.
Exactly. Well, good advice, Bob.
Yeah. The secret things belong to God, right. So I don't know what they're revealing, but it's all cult.
Right.
Unless they don't mean it literally.
Right.
They might say abiding in Christ is, quote, the secret to peace in your heart.
Right.
You don't really mean it's a secret.
Right.
Using it in a different way. You're meaning it's the principle revealed in Scripture.
Exactly.
To abide in Christ.
Wow.
And so I don't want to paint with too broad of a brush, but most of the time, if you want to sell a book, that's not going to do it.
Well, you know, it's funny. That's one of the major principles that you laid out in that Freedom in Christ series that we did was, look, you may feel that you're cursed. You may feel that you have these problems, but we have to be people who believe the promises of God and realize no matter what our outward circumstances look like, if we're in Christ, we're blessed.
Yeah, believe the promises of God.
Amen.
That's what I tell everybody.
Yeah, that's great advice.
And don't be deceived.
Right.
That's what Paul is saying. He says he's writing about Christ, hina, in order that, as the Greek, no one would deceive you with a persuasive word or literally fine-sounding arguments, if you want to say it that way.
Okay.
These are arguments with the root logia, reasoning, sounds really good.
Yeah, right.
And these people, they look good.
Yeah, right.
They're winsome. Many times they're very attractive people.
Yeah.
And they seem to have it all.
Right.
Okay? And they're saying, let me share with you the secret of my success. Yeah. That's so American.
Right, it is.
That's a genre that's been around for 200 years in America.
That's right. That's
There's
right.
somebody figuring out the secret.
Right.
And they're going to sell books so that you get in on it.
Yeah.
But see, what we have in Christianity is Christ.
Amen.
And all those who come to Christ have the same status.
Yes.
There aren't two types of Christians.
Right.
The regular Christians, and then the higher order ones who know the secret.
Amen.
That sort of idea is what Paul is refuting in the book of Colossians.
Amen.
Okay? Every Christian is redeemed and forgiven and rescued and transferred. I didn't get them in the same order.
Amen, that's right.
But it's the same idea. That's true of every Christian. It doesn't say, other than these lower order Christians that don't have the secret.
Right.
Okay? Dear ones, if you know Christ, you are loved by Him. If you trust His promises, you are abiding in Christ.
That's right.
You are rescued by Him from the domain of darkness. So Paul is writing to you in order that these fine-sounding arguments and persuasive reasonings would not deceive you. And he's telling you, don't let it happen.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody disturb you by false ideas. What God has given you in Christ is precious. It's beautiful. It's eternal. It's powerful. And don't let somebody come along and say, oh, you don't get it. You're not good enough.
Right.
And as Eric and I always say, it's not that we're going to do something for God.
Yeah.
It's what He's done for us.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
That's the focus. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that. Yeah. Now, Bob, as we get into verse 5, He says, "For even though I'm absent in body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit." He's explaining now why another desire, that he doesn't want them to be deluded by this persuasive argument. He's reminding them that he's with them. And I think this is very touching, but one of the things that has to be addressed is, what does he mean by that he's with them in the spirit?
Okay, let's talk about that, because some people have used this to literally teach soul travel.
Right, right.
Okay, out-of-body experiences.
Right.
No, that's not what it's teaching. Now, most likely, okay, Paul had not been there.
Right.
Remember back in chapter 1.
Epaphras is probably the one.
Yeah, Epaphras brought them the gospel.
Right.
But Paul was the apostle.
Exactly.
And so he's writing to them, and he's addressing probably the false teacher's accusation. Well, Paul's never been there. Why should you even listen to him?
Right, right.
What does he know about any of this?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. If Paul hasn't been there, like saying, oh, Paul's this doctor, but how could he make a diagnosis if he hasn't been there?
Very good point. Yeah, that would have been persuasive.
Persuasive,
sure.
Fine-sounding argument.
Right,
okay,
right.
Now, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
What Paul has told us so far in Colossians 1, in the beginning of Colossians 2, is true for every Christian, everywhere, at any time or place.
Right, right.
The sufficiency of Christ doesn't change whether Paul had been there to look them over or not. Okay? The fact that they were rescued, transferred, redeemed, or forgiven is true. Why? Because they're Christians.
Right.
He hadn't been there. He had got there and said, oh, you're higher order Christians, so it's true for you. No.
Right.
Because they're Christians.
Yeah, these are universal.
They believe the gospel that came to them through Epaphras.
Right.
And therefore, Paul can say these things, and they're saying, well, he's never been there.
Right.
Listen to us, don't listen to him. And he says, I'm there in spirit in this sense.
Yeah.
His concern, his prayers, his love, and even here now, his teaching comes to them, and his heart is for their well-being, whether he's seen them or not.
Right, amen.
So don't take it literally that he practiced soul travel.
Right, exactly.
But I'm with you in spirit. If you write a birthday card to a dear relative that you're not going to see for a few years,
right,
and you say, I'm with you in spirit, meaning I pray for you.
Right.
My heart goes out to you. I care about you. It doesn't mean I practice soul travel.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well said. That's right. And, you know, I think that's beautiful, because here it shows us, too, that there's a care for the corporate body of Christ that Paul really had. He really wanted these brothers and sisters to be whole and not to be deluded. And, you know, it's interesting, the responsibility that Paul had as an apostle, he really looked after all of these congregations, even though he wasn't there. And I love the fact that you pointed out, Bob, that the truisms of Christianity doesn't change based on geographical boundaries. It's true no matter where you are.
Yes. Let me give an example
that
I run into. In fact, one just came through an email today. I haven't responded yet. Some years ago, I wrote an article where I explained how I used to be in deliverance ministry in the 70s.
Yeah.
And I thought you had to cast demons out of people to help them get better.
Right.
In fact, a lot of these things now I'm warning against. At one time, I believed them.
Right, right.
I'm glad I wasn't a writer back then.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I'm sad that I did what I did, but I learned. Okay.
Right, you got your doctrine down now, right?
Well, I wrote an article where I told some stories about that to help explain why I got out of it.
Yeah.
And how I went over to a different view from Scripture.
Right.
People read that article, and they only read about half of it, and they go to the computer and start sending an email thinking I'm going to be available to solve their problems.
Right, right.
They don't read far enough to see I got out of it.
Yeah, right.
All right. And so sometimes the emails, they give me specific things to help me diagnose their problem.
Like a patient with a doctor.
Oh, very much so. They'll say, well, I have demons, and one of them tries to choke me. This other one does this when I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
And I have this pain in my gut that churns around, yeah, and has this demon tormenting me.
Yeah.
And I've been to these different deliverance counselors, and nobody's been able to do anything.
Yeah.
So I found you on the internet, and here's my number. Call me. I need you to figure out what's going on.
Sure, sure.
Oh, I've gotten so many of those.
Wow.
And so I don't ignore them.
Yeah.
But neither do I try to diagnose it.
Right.
I just say, I always go now to Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
Exactly.
Say, what you don't realize is that you get out of Satan's domain,
yeah,
all at once.
Right.
And they say, well, I accepted Christ when I was 7. And so that's not the issue. Well, maybe it is.
Right, right.
Maybe you just have mental assent Christianity.
Right.
Or maybe you've been deceived,
yeah,
by false teachings, and you're thinking, God doesn't deliver me unless I figure out which spirit is doing what.
Exactly.
And then find some person who knows the spirit world to help me get out of this. Maybe you're believing like a pagan.
Right, just like the Colossians were tempted to do.
Exactly. The Colossians, yeah, are the answer if you can understand what Paul's saying.
Exactly.
So I say, no, you don't need to talk about all this. You need to go to the throne of grace. Get out.
Right, amen.
Leave Satan's domain.
Right.
And go to Christ.
Yeah, amen.
And it doesn't matter what's going on.
Wow.
And because if you are the Lord's son or daughter,
yeah,
he loves you, he protects you, Satan can't touch you, and whatever Satan does do, like Paul's thorn in the flesh,
right,
go to God.
Yeah, right.
And if God says, no, my grace is sufficient, then fine, you're going to have some good benefit.
Yeah, amen.
Because God allowed this. Paul did.
Right, right.
But in no case do you need a person to try to manipulate the spirit world.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about that a lot. But why? Because Colossians is about it.
That's right.
Just before I came, there was this email about this. Same idea. Dear saints, believe the promises of God. Yeah. Don't let anyone deceive you.
Yeah.
The apostolic teaching. Paul is in heaven now.
Right.
But we have his writings.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so he says, I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are in the strength of your faith in Christ.
Yeah, the same thing could apply to us.
That's the issue, yeah. Do we have strong faith in Christ?
Yeah, amen.
One person I went back and forth with quite a bit trying to help see the promises of God.
Yeah.
She finally got it and said, you know, the more I think about all these symptoms, Satan gets bigger and Christ gets smaller.
Wow, interesting.
In my mind.
Wow, very good. You know, I was thinking about, you know, one of the things we have to believe when we're believing the promises of God is the scriptures declare that we're positionally in Christ, as we mentioned out of Colossians 1:13. We're really there positionally. We've been seated there in the heavenly places, as we see in Ephesians 1. Now, we haven't physically realized it, but we're to believe that that will happen one day, that we are secure. I was thinking about how the Israelites, when they were leaving Egypt, they were commanded to clean out all the old leaven. And one of the symbols, of course, of leaven is sin, but one of the symbols to the Israelites was there's no going back to Egypt. When you leave today, you're not going back to your home.
Yeah, the Red Sea closed.
Yeah, the Red Sea closed. They couldn't go back to get leaven to make any more cakes of bread. They're going to have to rely upon God. And so there's no going back to Egypt anymore. They had to live like that. And so when they started turning their faces back to Egypt, that's when they fell into sin and dishonored God. So let's take that to the new covenant. When we as Christians have been delivered out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved Son, our looking back or trying to interact with the demons is like the Israelite looking back to Egypt saying, boy, I wish I was back there.
Yeah. See, the Colossians in their background had religious techniques and principles.
Exactly.
To get rid of bad fate caused by demons.
That's right.
And Paul's gospel, delivered to them by Epaphras,
yeah,
said, no, you have sufficiency in Christ.
Amen.
But there's fear.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they have been influenced by these persuasive arguments.
Right, right.
And they're thinking, well, but.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't get these emails.
Yeah, right, right.
What if?
Yeah.
What if these teachers are right? And if I believe what you say, I'm just going to have all of these bad things happen to me.
Right.
And it's because of my own ignorance or my own fault because I didn't figure out what to do.
Right.
What curse to break or whatever. So they sort of are tempted to think that I'm just doing a put-off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want to bother with you.
Right.
This sounds like too big of a problem.
Yeah.
Just go away.
Right, right.
I'm not saying go away. I'm saying go to Christ.
Amen. Oh, I like that. That's very good, Bob. Say that again. That's really
I'm not saying go away. Go to Christ.
Amen. That's
and
not,
trust
yes.
Him. And I'm going to keep saying that.
Wow.
They might go away because they don't want to hear about Christ. They want to hear about the shaman who knows about the demons.
Right.
But,
right. Well, there lies the problem, though.
But then you decide what you want. And I'll tell you what, as we said, I believe, last week, don't go to Satan, go to God.
Amen.
Go to the throne of grace.
Right.
Okay? So Paul, though absent, rejoices to see how well-ordered there means well-ordered Christian behavior.
Right.
They're living like Christians, at least they should be, and some of them are.
Yeah.
And the strength of your faith in Christ. See, it's not your knowledge about bad faith. It's the strength of your faith in Christ.
Amen.
Dear listeners, is your faith in Christ strong? Not that you're strong, but that He is.
Right.
Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Amen.
In Mark.
Wow.
Right?
Exactly right.
That's what the guy said.
Yep, at Mark 9.
And help my unbelief. Wow. And my faith may be seemingly feeble,
yeah,
but it's in a powerful Christ who will never leave me,
wow,
who will never forsake me,
wow,
so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me?
Amen.
That's what we need to be able to do.
Yeah.
And now when it says here how well ordered you are in the strength of your faith, some of the scholars think he's using a military analogy.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay? Seeing the rank, there's a word for rank, and then solidity. So it's almost as saying they're well-ordered or they're marching in step with Christ.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay? They're staying in rank.
Right, yeah.
They're staying along the cadence of the drill sergeant.
Wow. Yeah.
You're going forward in step, strong in Christ, believing in Him,
right,
not alarmed by your opponents,
yeah,
not confused by the false teachers because you don't listen to them,
right,
not running back to find your book on how the seekers to the happy life.
Right. Yeah.
You know, some pietist stuff.
Right.
But trusting in Christ and Christ alone.
Amen. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting military metaphor. I was reading O'Brien about that same principle, and I thought about how when you read about some military conflicts, if you have a undisciplined platoon or undisciplined company of soldiers, boy, they get in real trouble in a real hurry.
They break rank and take off.
Exactly.
And then you lose.
And that's the very thing that he's concerned about, that they would end up being taken captive and as booty by these false teachers. Ultimately, the demons are the ones who stand behind these false doctrines.
The false teachings. Yeah, it's ironic, but the doctrines telling us how to defeat the demons
are from demons.
It came from the demons.
It is.
Because they love the attention.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't hurt their feelings when you rebuke them.
Right, right.
They don't care. They love it.
Yeah.
Because as long as you're doing that, you're not trusting Christ.
It's like the demons are behind enemy lines. You know, I thought of, remember in World War II, during during the Battle of the Bulge, the Nazis used soldiers. They were Germans, but they were dressed up as Americans, and they would send so much chaos in the American ranks because they were sending our troops every which way. In a sense, that's what these demonic doctrines are. They're sowing discord behind the lines within the Christian ranks.
Yeah, we do have to fight the battle.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get us wrong.
Right, right.
But we fight it
by going to Christ.
By going to Christ and maintaining our belief in the sufficiency of Christ, not by learning secrets about the realm of the spirits.
Right, right.
And we're not done talking about this because Colossians is all about it.
Exactly.
I know when I was getting into this in the very early 1970s as a new Christian, I was in a Bible college where I had good teachers.
Yeah.
And they saw me carrying these books around.
Right.
Watchman Nee.
Yeah.
That's the one I was using to figure out how to fight the demons.
Right.
He had a 3-volume set called The Spiritual Man.
Sure.
And I was reading those. I read those for years.
Yeah.
I never did figure it all out.
Right, right.
But my teacher said, no, don't listen to that. You've got bad sources there.
Yeah.
One of my teachers actually said, go learn Colossians.
Yes, that was a great, great
But then I had trouble. Insight. I couldn't understand Colossians.
Sure.
And later I did, and I thanked him.
Yeah.
But another teacher said, don't listen to all this stuff. They said, Bob, learn the Greek, learn hermeneutics.
Yeah.
And stay in the Bible.
Wow, great.
I did learn
insight.
The Greek. I did learn hermeneutics.
Yeah.
But I didn't stay in the Bible for the next 8 years.
Yeah, right.
I wanted to deal with these demons and all this stuff.
Right.
And 8 years later, I realized I got to stay in the Bible.
Right.
Well, it is to my shame. And I was lamenting it one time. My wife said, yeah, it was really bad. We were in that. But God uses it.
Amen.
So that you can help people not get into that.
Exactly.
I've been there. I've done that.
Right.
And I know it was wrong now.
Yeah.
And I did repent. I went back and thanked those teachers for telling me the truth.
Yeah.
Apologized for not listening before.
Did they remember you, Bob? When
the one did, for sure. One who told me to go study Colossians 2 from the Greek.
Is that
and warned me about Watchman Nee.
Wow.
He was my favorite teacher. Remembered me.
What was his last name?
Reverend Smith.
Reverend Smith, okay.
Yeah. And Wesley Smith was his name.
Wow.
Love that dear brother. I don't know if he's still in the church militant or
sure.
He's with Jesus
with the Lord, right? Yeah.
Thank God for Brother Smith. And I tracked him down. I recounted that incident. Yeah. He remembered it. I thanked you for telling me the truth.
Wow.
And I said, it's bearing fruit. I'm writing a series of articles about the Colossian heresy.
Wow.
Because now I do understand Colossians 2, but it took a while.
Yeah, amen.
I'm a slow learner.
No, no. I remember how exciting it was when you were getting into the Colossian syncretism written by Clinton Arnold, and how much that helped us look in the background.
Oh, yeah, that really resulted. In fact, when I was trying to figure it out in the early 70s, the material wasn't available.
Right.
Most of the commentators didn't understand it.
Yeah.
So later this work was published to help us.
Right. Well, I know we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio, but we both want to remind you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Enjoy going through these passages with you, and I know we're going to be into verse 6 next time.
Amen.
Well, we want to both remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.